Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It is roughly 12 noon on March 2nd, 2014. It's a beautiful, sunny midday here in Winnipeg. Yes, it does continue to be a bit chilly, but it's still a very beautiful day. I think we're going to go up to a high of, I think it's minus 25. Anyway, I hope things are well in your part of the world, or as well as they can be. I've had only a couple of people send in questions over this last month, so I'll respond to those, and then it's likely that there will be some time left over, and we'll see what arises at that point. As always, I want to thank those of you who have sent in questions, those of you who have sent in words of appreciation. I want to thank those who have sent in donations and those who have ordered food essence over the website. And as always, I want to thank Marcus Fellows for establishing this website in the first place and for continuing to post these responses each month. It was minus 45 degrees Celsius yesterday. So the radio stations were all warning everyone to be very careful about exposing their skin to that wind. Yeah, children's outdoor recess has been canceled around here for all this time that the cold weather has been rising. So we've had something like over 2 months of 30 below weather. People are starting to feel a bit cooped up, getting a bit short-tempered. However, for some reason, I'm still enjoying this winter. I really do enjoy the hibernation quality of it. People are less inclined to go out and gather together in groups. Everybody hunkers down in their own little warm, cozy cave. And I enjoy a lot of that. Anyway, as I said, I've had two people write in this month, sending in questions. So let's get down to those. A first person has written in saying, "Hi, Daryl. I would be glad to hear your thoughts on the theme of forgiveness from a non-dual perspective. Or to put it another way, the ability to overlook the imperfections that we humans are heir to without becoming a doormat. Many thanks and warm wishes." And for those who aren't familiar with certain English phrases, to be a doormat basically means to have people walk all over you. So this person is wondering, how is it we can consider the theme of forgiveness or consider the ability to overlook the imperfections that everyone exhibits without having anybody walk all over us, so that, you know, if we really acknowledge that somebody is fine as they are, but their actions may not be so pleasant toward us, how do we balance those two without them taking advantage of us or abusing us in some way? So this word forgiveness, this is an odd word in relation to non-duality, because for someone with a non-dual perspective, a non-dual sensibility, there really wouldn't be anything to forgive. In order to forgive someone for their actions, you first of all have to judge them as having done something against you. you have to judge them as having committed some kind of crime in a way, so that you, the better person, can forgive them. In order to forgive that person, you would have to first of all believe that they had some choice in what they were doing in the first place, that somehow they had chosen to do something to you that was something terrible, and that they knew it was terrible, and that they freely chose to do that. And of course, that's totally ridiculous from a non-dual perspective. From this non-dual perspective, everything is a movement that can't really be explained, and it's nobody's personal doing. So ultimately, from a non-dual perspective, we're simply acknowledging that everything that's happening in this moment, that seems to be happening in this moment, none of it is our doing. So in relation to so-called human beings, we don't create our basic needs, our basic interests, our basic concerns, our basic abilities, our basic lack of abilities. We don't create the body and the brain. We don't create how they function, how well they function. We don't create how well they're able to apparently deal with certain situations. All of that is simply the movement of a totally mysterious happening, the happening of this moment. So we could call it the movement of nature, or we could call it the movement of the universe. Or if we acknowledge the universe in its literal meaning, undivided turning, we could maybe acknowledge that all apparent things are moving and shifting and changing, that is our common experience, that everything we know of in life is changing. And even though we're not out in the galaxy observing other planets, scientists will tell us in their observations of the galaxy and the planets that all of those apparent things are moving and shifting and changing as well. So the literal meaning of universe is undivided turning. So if we acknowledge the universe in that sense, we could also say it's simply the Great Spirit. So we have this ephemeral presence, this ephemeral happening. Or in the Vedantic traditions, you could call it the unformed ocean of existence. Or in the Taoist traditions, you could call it the river of life, the way. There's just the way that this moment is expressing itself. And that the way has no particular form. It's like the flow of water. So, you know, from a non-dual perspective, none of this happening is anyone's personal doing. In fact, the belief that there are actual forms influencing other forms is considered to be absolutely false. It's a fantasy. That what is, the happening of this moment, what is a totally unexplainable happening. You can't really describe it as anything in particular. Even if you drop all thoughts, there still seems to be something happening. And that this is not anyone's personal doing. And all the apparent forms, so the apparent forms that we call human beings, the apparent forms that we call needs, interests, concerns, abilities, lack of abilities, a body and a mind. Those apparent forms are simply the movement or the expression, the happening of this moment that actually doesn't have any particular form, and it doesn't have any legitimate label. Words like human beings and world and objects, these are totally meaningless sounds. They're just pointing to certain aspects of this totally unexplainable happening. So from that perspective, nobody's choosing to do anything terrible to another person. And so from that perspective, nobody needs to be forgiven for their behavior. However, that doesn't make us stupid. So, for instance, the average shark is not usually out to prey on human beings. So if we go to the shores of Australia, the great white sharks off the coast of Australia, they aren't intentionally out there looking for human beings, and in general, they don't prey on human beings when human beings are swimming in the ocean. However, occasionally a shark does prey on human beings. Now, we don't have the impression that the shark is morally corrupt. The shark is a legitimate expression of nature, just like everything else is. And even though the average shark isn't out to eat a human being, occasionally nature produces a shark that does attack human beings, which is just a natural part of existence. It's a natural expression of whatever this happening actually is. I mean, all these stories about sharks and human beings, they aren't ultimately any truth. But there is this happening the way it's happening. And in our usual storylines, we don't have the story that sharks are morally corrupt. A shark doesn't start eating a human being because it wasn't going to church or it wasn't following the Ten Commandments. It's just a natural expression of existence. And from this non-dual sensibility, the same goes for every human being. Now, human beings in general are not really going out of their way to harm another human being. However, we have certain human beings that are dangerous. They're physically dangerous. They may do apparent harm to our bodies. And it's a very natural part of this movement of existence that we have something that we call a survival mechanism. So in relation to this apparent form that we call the body, there is what we would call another more ephemeral form, a not so concrete form that we would call a survival mechanism. And it's the natural expression of the survival mechanism to apparently take care of this apparent body. So if we come close to someone who appears to be physically dangerous, we will very naturally protect ourselves in whatever way we need to protect ourselves, or whatever way we can protect ourselves. It's also the case that there are human beings that are verbally and mentally abusive to other human beings. So within this totally unexplainable happening, or this totally unexplainable happening expresses itself as apparent forms and apparent people that may be verbally and mentally abusive to other human beings. And at some point, we're going to find that unpleasant. That is a very natural expression of existence. Life is hard enough without putting ourselves in the company of abusive people. Now, what I'm expressing here is just my expression. I'm not saying anybody else has to see life in this way. I don't really know what is happening in this moment. I have no way of explaining what's actually happening in this moment. And this apparent body that I am, I have no way of knowing what that actually is. It's just happening the way it happens. However, within our usual storylines, it is the case that from time to time I will meet another apparent human being who may go out of his or her way to abuse me verbally or with a certain attitude in relation to me, and there is only a certain amount of patience that I have with that situation. I don't know what this patience is ultimately, but whatever this happening is, I'm part of that expression, and I'm expressed in a certain way. So it's the case that at work, I run into a number of different people who are not so pleasant. And there are a couple of characters who have really gone out of their way to be verbally abusive. And I've taken that up to a certain point, up to a certain point that doesn't bother me at all. However, at a certain point, it becomes very bothersome to me. And there's an automatic response to that situation. So again, it's not really something happening and me having a particular response to this situation. It's simply the movement of something that can't be explained in any way whatsoever. However, within that, the world of our usual storylines, it's one person abusing me in an overt way, and at a certain point, there is a response to that abuse. And the response is, I'm not going to take it anymore. So I've had certain situations where I've told people to their faces that they should stop. And in other cases, I've simply refused to wait on the person who comes into the warehouse. They're wanting something in particular, but I've simply explained to them that I find them to be incredibly abusive and I don't feel like being abused, so I won't be waiting on them anymore. Fortunately for me, the law in Manitoba says that I don't have to put up with that kind of abuse. Now, all of this occurs without any feeling that this person is morally corrupt or that this person is choosing to be what they are. So it's very much as though a very aggressive dog has come into the warehouse and it's snapping and snarling while I'm attempting to work. And it's coming close to me and it's snapping and snarling at me. Now, it's true that ultimately it hasn't done anything to me physically. It's simply getting very close and snapping and snarling. But it's also true that that's a very unpleasant situation. And in my own expression, I'll only take it up to a certain point. So I will either remove myself from that situation or I will remove the dog. And I can do all of that simply occurs without any kind of moral condemnation of the dog. The dog doesn't have to be forgiven for its behavior. The dog is just doing what it does. And so it is with human beings that are aggressive or verbally abusive or abusive just with an attitude, a simple attitude in the way that they are apparently relating to you. There's probably somebody out there thinking, oh, if somebody was truly enlightened, they would just take everything. But that's not exactly the way it works. Christ got angry at the money changers in the temple. He overturned the tables that they were working on. The Buddha would get upset with his followers who would show up when he was living somewhere on his own, and they would be making so much noise that he would just say, I'm out of here. You make too much noise. I'm going someplace else. Now, there's no fixed rule to any of this. I can't say, okay, that if a certain person comes into your workplace or a certain person is attempting to relate to you, and they're giving you a certain amount of abuse. I can't tell you there's a specific amount of abuse that you're supposed to take, and then you're not supposed to take it beyond that point. It's different for every apparent person. And dealing with this situation is going to be unpleasant. In the same way that it would be unpleasant to deal with a dog that's coming very close to you and it's snapping and snarling, being very aggressive. So I can't give you any fixed rule for dealing with these kinds of situations. From this non-dual perspective, this totally unexplainable happening of this moment, even though it has no ultimate form, even though it has no explanation, in this moment it still has apparent form. And if we acknowledge those apparent forms, we can perhaps realize that each and every apparent form is unique. No two snowflakes are identical. No two leaves are identical on any two trees. No two trees are identical. No two human beings are identical. No two human beings have the same pulse rate, the same breath rate, the same skin composition. Each and every apparent form in existence is unique to some degree. That means each and every apparent form is different from each and every other apparent form in existence. Maybe in a radical way, maybe in a slight way, but ultimately each and every apparent form is different from each and every other apparent form. And so it is with human beings. So in these apparent situations, where we're acknowledging that another human being is simply the totally mysterious dance of existence, and it's still a situation where existence is presenting itself as being very unpleasant, and this apparent person is presenting as being very aggressive and very menacing, this unpleasant quality arises, and a certain response will also arise. A certain apparent response will also arise to that unpleasant situation, and for each person, it's different. And each person will apparently respond to that unpleasant situation according to their own particular needs, interests, concerns, abilities, and lack of abilities. So basically, the situation presents itself, and immediately all of your possibilities present themselves. And the whole thing will move in whatever way makes most sense to you. Your response will be whatever makes most sense to you in that particular moment. And it won't be pleasant. Because this totally unexplainable event of existence doesn't express itself as constant pleasure. Even these so-called awakened beings, when they're talking about, oh, it's all endless bliss, that doesn't mean the particular happening of the moment, the particular expression, the totally mysterious dance of existence in any particular moment is happy. That reference to bliss just means it's not that big a deal. Life presents itself the way it presents itself. Sometimes it's apparently up, sometimes it's apparently down, sometimes it's apparently happy, sometimes it's apparently unhappy, sometimes it's apparently pleasant, and sometimes it's apparently unpleasant. And the whole thing is simply presenting itself. Now, there are those apparent people who will say, actually, the whole point of enlightenment is that you examine all of your behavior and all of your thoughts, and you learn to gain control over them so that it's always pleasant and you're always free. But that's not exactly the way this whole situation presents itself. That's not what enlightenment means. Enlightenment is the acknowledgement that the happening of this moment, what actually is, there's no way of saying what this is. There's no way of actually describing the happening of this moment. It has no particular form, because even in that appearance of form, it's obvious that all forms are changing. So whatever this is, it doesn't have any particular form. It doesn't have any particular name. You know, the only names we have for it are sounds that we're trained to bark. Even within our storylines, our usual storylines tell us that as a baby, when we came out of the womb, we didn't have a storyline. So for the baby, there isn't even a baby coming out of the womb. For the baby, it's a totally unexplainable happening. The baby isn't even making an attempt to explain it. There is just the happening of the moment. And then in our usual storylines, we have the story that over a long number of years, we were trained to bark certain sounds. But just because you're trained to bark a certain sound, it doesn't mean that the happening of this moment is something that you know. Even the word knowing is a totally meaningless sound that we've been taught to bark. It's still the same totally unexplainable happening it is for an apparent baby. And that's the awakened acknowledgement. It is always a totally unexplainable happening, simply presenting itself. The stories of personal doing are not the truth. They don't apply to whatever's here. The stories of personal doing are based on the belief in forms that are influencing other forms, when in fact, this happening always exhibits the fact that it has no particular form. Everything that we apparently are an expression of this happening. If we sit and make absolutely no effort whatsoever, no conscious effort to do anything, everything we are still presents itself. And even if we wanted to sit and do absolutely nothing, it wouldn't happen. Because this totally unexplainable happening expresses all the apparent forms in whatever way it expresses them. And so within the world of apparent form, we will be compelled to get up and go to the toilet. We will be compelled to go get something to eat. We will be compelled to hang out with our friends. We will be compelled to work at a job if we don't have money to survive. All of this is the compulsive dance of what is. Just this happening. Don't even call it a happening. Just this. Don't even call it this. Don't call it anything. And it's still making itself obvious. It's still making itself, still expressing itself. That's the bottom line. But then there are these apparent forms. And there are the labels that arise in relationship to those apparent forms. And the storylines that arise in relation to those apparent forms. And in those storylines, we have apparent human beings being expressed in their own unique way. And so we have situations and responses to those situations, and each and every expression is unique. So from this non-dual perspective, if we're considering the world of apparent form, it will always present within those apparent forms and within the world of storylines, it will present as a journey of discovery. Ultimately, a human being discovering what life is going to allow to happen to that human being, how life is going to allow that human being to express himself or herself. But it's never a situation of a human being ultimately in control. Within this situation of forgiveness, within this situation of dealing with unpleasant or dangerous individuals, it's never a situation of having to forgive those individuals for their behavior. It's simply an acknowledgement that life expresses these apparent individuals in this way. And there's a very natural response to that. And for each one of us, for each apparent person, the response is unique. Some people are incredibly patient with this kind of situation. Some people are incredibly impatient with this kind of situation. The range of expression is enormous, and each and every apparent expression is unique. Ultimately, from this non-dual sensibility, in whatever situation you're in, whatever situation you are apparently in, just be what you are. Because all anybody can ever be is the particular expression that they are in the moment. And all of that is the dance of something that can never actually be explained. Within the world of apparent stories, simply do what makes sense to you. And to acknowledge that you don't create those basic sensibilities is to live from this non-dual sensibility, this non-dual perspective. There's never any wrong expression of existence. There's never any incorrect expression of this totally unexplainable happening that we might call now. This totally indefinable liveliness, what is. There's never any wrong expression in that because there is only that. There are no human beings influencing that. Storylines about human beings dealing with other human beings are ultimately false. There's just what is presenting itself. All right. A second person has written in saying, I have studied quantum physics at an amateur layman level for years, and I believe I have a strong sense of the concept of non-duality. I notice when times are tough or when I'm experiencing an upset state, the ideas of non-duality ease my worries and anxiety. However, in moments of peace and joy, I have this nagging thought that even my joy and happiness is part of some grand illusion and don't even belong to me, because the belief that I am an individual is also part of this grand illusion. In summary, if the concept of being a separate entity is an illusion, would not both the joy and pain experienced by that individual be an illusion as well? Have you ever felt non-duality beliefs have this effect on joyous moments? Sometimes I wonder if the only real state would be an overwhelming sense of connectivity with everything, somehow sharing in the state of everything. I believe these thoughts and these words are also part of an illusion, and your answer will only form some belief in my head that is not a belief at all, but simply is the unexplained expression of nature occurring in the only way it can. But in this unexplainable haze of illusions, I'm still very curious about your answer. So now this person, he wrote in a little while later and simplified his question. And he made it very specific. He wrote, joy, is it here or not here? So let's see, let's make this very specific. I want you to think a question. Think this question. What is there when there's no thinking? And at the end of the question, just rest. So then ask, you know, think the question a number of times, and at the end of the question, just rest. What is there when there is no thinking? 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 Now, we could be sitting in this room, or wherever you are, wherever you're apparently sitting, you can be sitting there and you can be thinking, oh, I'm a person listening to a talk on a website, and I'm in a room. But all of that is a storyline. When you ask this question, or when you think this question, what is there when there is no thinking? Now, at the end of the question, there's an absence of thought. However, it doesn't feel like nothing exists. There is this, what we would call the actual physical happening of the moment. But don't call it anything. So that's what is in this moment. That's what is. Now, this moment might be a particularly joyful moment. And we say, wow, this is a joyful moment. But ask the question. Think the question. What is there when there's no thinking? So there's just this. There seems to be something happening, but we're not going to say anything about it. Nothing is going to be said about it. It still seems like something's happening. There's no way of saying what that is. Now, people come up with all kinds of names for it. They call it the I am, the isness. They call it being. They call it consciousness. They call it existence. They call it pure awareness. But it's not any of those things. You can call it joy, if it's what we usually would call joy. But it's not these words. See, a non-dual sensibility isn't wanting to end up, or isn't pointing to a situation where we end up with a focus on words, a focus on ideas. The whole thing is pointing to something that's not an idea, something that's not definable. There is what we might call the happening of this moment. Don't call it anything at all. And it still feels like something's happening. There's no way of saying what that is. Now, even if you don't call it anything, it goes on expressing itself in the various ways that it has been expressing itself, always moving and shifting and dancing. So it goes on expressing itself as what we might call joy in one moment, and unhappiness in another moment, and clarity in one moment, and confusion in another moment, and confidence in one moment, and anxiety in another moment. But it's not something that's describable. These words, confidence and anxiety, joy and sorrow, clarity and confusion, these are meaningless sounds. Stop thinking. Now, when I say that, I don't mean you have to stop thinking forever. What we call thought doesn't have to stop forever, but in this moment, think the question, what is there when there is no thinking? Now, at the end of the question, it doesn't feel as though there's total nothingness, but there isn't any thought. What is expresses itself. It doesn't need to be described. It doesn't need to be labeled. And in fact, we can consider the attempt to label this. So within our storylines, we make all kinds of attempts to say what this is. We focus on apparent forms, or there is a focus on apparent forms, and we label certain forms. So we have this form that we call a body, and we label that a body. However, it's not a particular form. It used to be the size of a pinhead in your mother's womb. Then it was the size of a baseball in your mother's womb. Then it was the size of a football in your mother's womb. Notice I'm using all of these male examples for size. But then at a certain point, you were apparently out of your womb, or out of your mom's womb, and you were a certain apparent size. Now you're the size you are. But whatever this body is, it's changing. It's not a particular form. And every one of us has the storyline that when we came out of our mother's womb, there was no storyline. Every one of us has a story that says that our parents taught us to label things. Our school system taught us to connect those labels into complicated stories. Our society wants us to focus on those complicated stories all the time. And we forget this basic happening that's not a story. So in this moment, think the question, what is there when there is no thinking? And at the end of that question, there is this apparent happening that's not a thought. And these apparent thoughts will come back in their own way, in their own time. We're not going to try to get rid of thought. But perhaps we can acknowledge at some point that the thoughts coming back are just part of this happening expressing itself. And that the word thought doesn't tell us what this happening is. So even when these apparent thoughts are present, it's still a totally unexplainable happening, just happening. Now, there's no way that I can explain this situation so that everybody sees life in this way. This is merely, I don't know what you could call it. You could call it a confession. I'm simply confessing a certain sense of existence. Now, either this sense of existence makes sense to you or it doesn't. From this sense of existence, there is only a totally unexplainable happening. I have the same apparent storylines or similar apparent storylines to your own. However, these have absolutely no meaning in this situation, in this expression. They have absolutely no meaning whatsoever. They are a totally unexplainable happening, simply happening. But it doesn't stop the happening of this moment from happening. And when I say happening, I'm not trying to describe anything in particular. I'm just saying that even if there is no thinking, even if there's no attempt to describe anything, even if there's no attempt to do anything, it feels like something's happening in this moment. I know that some apparent non-dual presenters will say there's nothing happening in this moment, and then everybody who hears them goes around saying, nothing's happening in this moment, nothing's happening in this moment, nothing's happening in this moment. Oh, it's so exciting, nothing's happening in this moment. But that's not the non-dual sensibility. You don't go around saying nothing's happening in this moment. There's simply what seems to be the happening of this moment expressing itself automatically. It's just happening automatically. There's no attempt to say what it is. And the apparent thoughts are just a portion of this expression. It's just a totally mysterious dance expressing itself, a liveliness, a dynamic functioning. Flux, flow, not these words. These words are just pointing to the fact that if you think the question, what is there when there is no thinking? There's an apparent happening that isn't a thought. And that is just happening on its own. Now, to realize this doesn't get rid of all the expressions that you think or that you normally call, that you normally label joy and sorrow, clarity and confusion, anxiety and confidence, arrogance and humility. It doesn't get rid of all those expressions. It just no longer believes that there can be any labeling, any true labeling of whatever this is. There's just this doing what it does. There isn't anything separate from just this doing what it does. There isn't anything influencing just this doing what it does. There's just this doing what it does. Now, all of this is just for your consideration. I'm not saying anybody else has to see existence in this way, has to have this sense of existence. But I am saying that this is what is classically known as a non-dual sensibility. A non-dual sensibility does not lead to a situation where somebody goes around saying, I am that, or there is nothing. Ultimately, from this so-called non-dual perspective, there's no attempt to describe existence in any way whatsoever. And in this moment, if we make no attempt to do anything or to understand anything or to label anything, miraculously, whatever this is goes on presenting itself all on its own. There's no way to say what it is. There's no way to say anything at all about it. And whatever it is, it presents itself spontaneously. It presents all apparent forms, such as human beings. Everything is an expression of this, whatever this is. Now, we could get into all kinds of grandiose statements. Oh, it's the great spirit. It's the unformed ocean of existence. It's the universe. It's God. It's Brahman. It's Atman. But it's not. There's no way of saying what it is. That's just total gibberish. It's just this, being this. But it's not any particular form influencing another particular form. And it's not anything that can be labeled in any kind of true way. It's not anything that can be described in any true way. There can be all kinds of apparent descriptions, but none of them are a truth. They do not ultimately apply to this. Again, this is just for your consideration. Ultimately, it's not a matter of having to stop what we call thinking. It's just the realization that it's not something called thinking, and it's not something that anybody's doing. It's just this spontaneously expressing itself. These situations where people gather together and they get into all of these grandiose statements about existence, this is not a non-dual focus. To spend all of your time focused on descriptions, thinking that you're somehow realizing what existence is through those descriptions, that's not a non-dual sensibility. And if you spend all of your time focused on thought, saying what it isn't, that's also not a non-dual sensibility. What is there when there is no thinking? That's what is. And when apparent thought comes, there's no way of saying what that is either. It's not something called thinking. When the apparent seasons change, you don't have to call them anything. You don't have to make any effort to have the seasons change. They simply change this apparent movement. It's not even an apparent movement, it's just the absence of form. The constant absence of form expresses itself. Even saying that is too much. But in the same way that you don't have to label the changing of the seasons, this happening that we call the changing of the seasons, and you don't have to do anything for this happening to present itself, that goes for everything. You don't ultimately have to have a label for it, and there isn't anybody doing anything for this apparent happening to happen. It just plays the way it plays. It dances the way it dances. And now somebody's going to come up with some harebrained notion that, oh, you can't really call it dancing because actually there's a pinpoint of a moment and you can't really rest in that pinpoint of a moment because it moves on before you can actually connect with that pinpoint of a moment. And then, so we can never really experience what it actually is, and it can't be dancing because in that pinpoint of a moment, there can't be any movement. And this is just obsession with fantasy. There isn't any time. There isn't any way to label what's happening in this moment. There are those who hear this kind of expression and they get frightened. They think, oh my God, if there aren't any human beings and there isn't any joy and there isn't God and there isn't, it starts sounding really bleak. But this perspective is not saying that there's nothing. Some presenters will say that there's nothing, but they just mean there's no thing. There's no identifiable thing. Whatever this is, it has no particular form. So all the stories about form are not ultimately the truth. All these labels are just meaningless sound. They're not ultimately the truth. You know, for every one of us, again, we have this storyline that when we came out of the womb, we had no story. So right now, if you consider a baby that's 1 hour old, ask the baby what life is about. Ask the baby, what's the meaning of life? Ask the baby, are you pure consciousness right now? Ask the baby, are you realized? Are you enlightened? The baby doesn't have a storyline. The baby doesn't even call itself a baby. The baby doesn't say, I'm a baby who just came out of the womb. All of that in our storylines is a storyline that someone will have to take years to teach us to bark. So what is there for the baby? You know, if we wanted to get a general sense of what it is for the baby, then let's think that question. What is there when there is no thinking? And in that moment at the end of the question, for a moment there is no thinking, but it doesn't feel like there's nothing. And what is, isn't a thought. And the thought will come back on its own automatically. It's also part of this happening. Just happening. And there's no way of saying what that supposed thinking is, because the word thinking is just a meaningless sound. And this happening that we call thought, it has no particular form. Like right now, there's the feeling that maybe your head is filled with thought. So just take a moment, make no effort, and just observe a thought. Find this form that you call thought. Make no effort to think, and just observe it. What do you find? You're not going to find some solid little form called a thought. Even at the best of times when we think that our head is filled with thought, a flow of thought, we call it a flow of thought because it has no apparent form. It's some liveliness, some dance. But we don't have any way of saying actually what that is. And yet, we can't say there's nothing happening, because it feels like something's happening. So to say that there are no human beings and there is no joy, there is no sorrow, there is no clarity and confusion, there is no person in charge, to say all of this is not to say that nothing is happening. It's to say that these storylines are not the truth. It's to see that these storylines can't tell us what's happening here. And even in those moments when there is no thinking, it doesn't feel like there's nothing. In fact, when the focus comes off this happening that we call thinking and comes to the rest of the event, it's more lively, it's more subtle, it's more vital than ever before. Of course, that's all a story too. A fantasy, when we focus on these stories of form and the stories of personal doing, we're ultimately frustrated because there's a hope for control, but existence is always presenting itself in a new way, an apparently new way. All of these apparent forms are unique. Even though there's no particular form, actually, the apparent forms are always ultimately unique because there is no particular form. Whatever it seems to be now is always moving on to something else. And what it's apparently expressing in the next moment is unique. So whatever we want it to be, it can't be. It automatically moves on to something else. So believing that you're a particular person, a particular form influencing other forms and ultimately having some kind of control is ultimately frustrating. The only freedom, the only possible freedom is the acknowledgement that all of this is a totally unexplainable happening, simply happening on its own. That's what is. There's no way of saying what it is. It's happening spontaneously, automatically. There is no person making any of it happen. There is no person ultimately influencing it. But that doesn't mean you sit around doing nothing, because you can't sit around doing nothing. You're an expression of this totally unexplainable dance. So you're going to be danced. And you're going to be danced in whatever way it dances you. Actually, there is no you that's separate from this thing. There's no separate power making you move. There just is a totally unexplainable dance. Dancing the way it dances. The only reason there's any kind of mental anguish, what we would call mental anguish, is there is this apparent hope that life is going to present itself in some other way. The only difficulty is that there is this judgment, this apparent judgment on life, that it shouldn't be presenting what it's already presenting. And the only freedom, the only apparent freedom, is the realization that it'll go on presenting whatever it presents. There is no person that has choice in this. There is no person who gets to control the thing ultimately. All of these viewpoints about people in charge, people developing themselves, people observing their thoughts, people ultimately coming to some kind of control over their thoughts, all of this is fantasy from a non-dual perspective. What is cannot be described. So people come up with all of these attempts to point to it. Para-Brahman, para-whatever, Sat-Chit-Ananda, nothingness, all of these attempts to point to what we might call just the basic happening of this moment. The I am. You know, Wang Po saying, Buddha mind, Buddha nature. It's everything you see in this moment. It has no form. The Taoist saying, there is only the way. There's just this happening, the way it expresses itself. It's like the flowing of water, the changing of the seasons. There's just this and the way it expresses itself. There isn't any human being that gets to decide how it's going to express itself ultimately. And there isn't any human being that gets to decide how they're expressed. So some apparent human beings are expressed with the interest in apparently watching all of their thoughts and their emotions and apparently learning to live in a healthy way. That's not actually what's happening. That's an interesting storyline. And some other apparent human beings are not expressed in that way. They're not expressed with this interest in meditation, this interest in witnessing, this interest in spirituality, this interest in, I mean, some of them, some apparent people aren't even expressed with an interest in health. But all of that's an interesting fantasy too, that there's a human being without an interest in health. It's always a totally indefinable happening from this non-dual perspective. And again, not everybody has to have this so-called perspective. And even this, you don't end up with the feeling that you have a non-dual perspective when you apparently have this non-dual perspective. What remains is a totally unexplainable happening, just happening the way it happens. Now, some apparent people will say that I'm not giving you anything practical. I'm not giving you anything you can do. Well, it seems pretty practical to me to simply acknowledge that you already know that everything you think about existence is a fantasy. That your own storyline tells you there isn't any particular form. Your own fantasy tells you that you didn't have a story when this first presented itself. Your own experience will be that if you think the question, what is there when there is no thinking? At the end of that question, it isn't a nothingness. At the end of the question, there's a moment with no apparent thought, but it doesn't feel like nothingness. It feels like there's a vibrant, lively happening. It doesn't seem impractical to point out that you already know you didn't create your body, you didn't create your brain. In fact, ultimately there is no body and brain because those are just meaningless sounds pointing to forms that don't ultimately exist. It doesn't seem impractical to point out that you haven't created your needs, your interests, or your concerns. You haven't created your abilities or your lack of abilities, your apparent lack of abilities. So in the storyline, it's obvious that you haven't created your body and your brain. You haven't created your needs, your interests, your concerns, your abilities, or your lack of abilities. So that's what your storyline says to you right now. You haven't created any of that. So ultimately, you're not doing your life. And it doesn't seem to be impractical to point out that all of those storylines make no sense because the actual happening, all of those apparent forms you're pointing to are changing. There is no actual lasting form. And all of those sounds you're using to label those apparent forms are just meaningless sounds. If you lived in another country, it would be a totally different set of sounds. If we all agreed we could use the sounds blix and flute and wazzle. If we sit around talking about awareness and consciousness and bodies, it seems like we know so much. But if we sat around thinking about or talking about blix and flute and wazzle, it would seem like we were talking about gibberish. And the fact of the matter is, words like awareness and consciousness and bodies, That's gibberish too. That doesn't seem impractical to simply acknowledge that. It doesn't seem to be impractical to consider that when you really get down to it, all that ever seems to exist is a totally unexplainable happening, and it doesn't come and go. It's just a feeling that there's a happening that has no particular form. It never comes and goes. It isn't born and it doesn't die. Even in deep sleep, dreamless sleep, what we would call dreamless sleep, when there isn't any feeling of existing whatsoever, in that expression that we call awakening in the morning, in that awakening, that moment of awakening, there's the feeling of, boy, I slept really well. So somewhere there's the feeling that this happening was still happening. The impression is there is just this happening and it doesn't have any particular form. One moment it seems like it's deep sleep. Another moment it seems like it's waking up. Another moment it seems like it's dreaming. One moment it seems like one apparent form, but that apparent form doesn't last. It's always moving on to something else. One moment it seems like it's an infant. The next moment it seems like it's a child. The next moment it seems like it's a teenager. The next moment it seems like it's somebody who's 40 years old, 60 years old. At a certain point it seems like it's a body that's turning to dust. One moment it seems like it's a pleasant mood. The next moment it seems like it's an unpleasant mood. It doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge this totally unexplainable happening that has no particular form, that nobody is doing. It doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge that there's no way of saying what we are and we're not doing ourselves. That doesn't seem impractical. Of course, this is just from my sense of things. It's not that anybody else has to have this sense of things. It doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge that all these stories of worldliness and spirituality and duality and non-duality, these are all just fantasies. It doesn't seem impractical that the focus, the constant focus on these storylines is the constant focus on fantasy. That it's a denial of what actually is. That doesn't seem impractical. Because if you live in fantasy, when it bumps up against what actually is, it gets ripped apart. It doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge that there is no fantasy bumping up against what actually is. Even that is a focus on fantasy. It doesn't seem impractical to realize that all of this is flowing on its own. It doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge that the apparent process that we are isn't our doing, that we can relax. We're not a particular form that's come into existence and will go out of existence. There's no way of saying what we are. We have no particular form. We are what is. What is, there's no way of saying what is. It just is. There isn't anything other than this isness. The isness isn't divided up into all kinds of different forms separate from each other. it doesn't seem impractical to acknowledge that there's nothing wrong here. There's just this totally unexplainable happening presenting itself. We can ask, what is there when there is no thinking? And at the end of that question, there's an apparent moment with no apparent thought, and yet it doesn't feel like there's nothing. There's what is. And this an apparent thought will come back in its own way, in its own time, and there's no way of saying what that is. There's just this, and even that is saying too much. There's nothing to be concerned about, ultimately. There's just this presenting itself. A thousand apparent years ago, there was just this presenting itself. A thousand apparent years from now, there will be just this presenting itself. Before the Big Bang, there was just this presenting itself. After the Big Bang, there was just this presenting itself. There was no before the Big Bang. There is no Big Bang. There is no after the Big Bang. There's just this. There's no way to say what this is. It has no particular form. It has no actual name. So again, this is just for your consideration. I'm not saying anyone else has to look at existence in this way. I'm not saying anyone else has to agree with what I'm saying. It's just for your consideration. I'm not asking you to believe what I'm saying. If I'm asking anything at all, it's just to consider what's being expressed here in relation to your actual experience. Right now, in this moment, what are you doing to be what you are? To be the happening that you are, the next thought that's arising, the next mood that's arising, the pulsations and vibrations, what we call pulsations and vibrations, what we call moods, what we call breath. What are you doing to make that happen? Nothing. It's just happening. The particular interests that you have, the particular needs that you have, what are you doing to make that happen? Nothing. What particular form do you have? The body is changing all the time, the moods are changing all the time, the thoughts are changing all the time. What particular form do you have? There isn't any experience of anything separate from this happening, this process that you think you are. The process has no particular form. There's no one making it happen. Again, this is just for your consideration. And actually, I think that's enough for this session. So I hope that things go well for you over this next month. I hope that life presents only good things for you. However, I'm absolutely certain it will present an apparent mixed bag of things. Highs and lows, clarity and confusion, joys and sorrows, anxiety and confidence. Even if I wish only good things for you. So until next time, take care. Bye for now.